This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
The president's Twitter went down. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I'm serious. So they're doing a full internal review. The president's personal Twitter account was inadvertently deactivated. They've investigated, and it was done by a Twitter customer service employee. It was their last day. That warrants the full internal review. It went dark at about 7 o'clock, and people were crazed because they thought it was, you know, there's no way this goes down. Rachel Maddow, even, from MSNBC, said, I'm not usually a person who covers the president's tweets, but, Kirk Moore said, Donald Trump's account is gone. Now I'm worried. And there were others that, you know, chimed in and said either clever things or, you know, whatever. So how about that? Because the president, if you didn't know this, is the most followed world leader on Twitter. Last month he was. And as much as he comes under fire for what he says, the whole Twitter practicing of releasing news that way and all of that, it's interesting how popular it is. So Twitter CEO, even Jack Dorsey, defended the president's use of the platform, saying the importance of hearing from the man himself for the sake of accountability. And there is something to that, I have to say. If it's the real Donald Trump and he tweets it out, it is what it is, right? And that's what happens. I mean, that's what he said. The people get the direct word from him, period. And Dorsey, of course, he would defend it anyway, but he says he believes it's important to hear from the leadership. Boom, boom, boom. That's how you hold him accountable. So there you go. It was down, probably a disgruntled employee who was no longer an employee. That was their last parting shot, so shall we say. Coming up, we're going to hit the mailbag, and then plus, Forbes Books at Bedtime and whatnot as we motor along here on this version of the show. You know, it's that time of year where it's weird. There's kind of two different camps of people, right? People who feel blessed, and I mean, and hopefully all of you feel some gratitude and something great's going on in your life, because I think the gratitude then pours over and leads to that whole way you think, not to get on a giant soapbox about that. But I do find that people fall into two categories. You get toward the end of the year and they're either happy and saying, oh, thank goodness, oh, 2017, the worst year ever. It was awful. I hate it. I can't wait to get out of it. Boom, 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 boom. Let's just get out of this year. Or other people who had just terrific year and are happy to celebrate and wind down the season with relaxation and family and whatever, and they couldn't be happier. It was just a tremendous, tremendous year. But one of the things that happens at the end of the year is, you know, making those plans, the whole, if it's Christmas, you celebrate the whole Christmas traditions and where are you going, what are you doing, and that includes mailing things. And I was reading the statistics, I did this last hour, about FedEx and how many packages, and I have to say, again, I was so stunned by this, the highest they think, this is their projections, that they'll deliver 400 million. That is insane if you think about and divide that up how much that is. And they say a lot of it happens between Black Friday, which would be right after Thanksgiving and Christmas, like 317 million. But, wow. And UPS, so while FedEx is saying 400 million, UPS, 750 million. So they're saying an increase. And then the U.S. Postal Service, which we could barely save, they're projecting an increase, too, to about 850 million packages, which makes sense, the old traditional way of getting it there. And now with how they even come and pick it up, you know, pick up packages at people's houses. And you know, every year we know that this holiday is coming, or these holidays versions of it are coming. And every year, how many people wait till the last second to actually, you know, get their stuff out? That's what I would like to know. If there was a way to really, well, just by the packages that add up and come in, but what that number is has to be one of the highest numbers. Because you see it, it's like when people used to mail their tax returns at midnight. As long as it had the stamp on it, you'd go and there'd be people that were trying to get to the mailbox and mail their tax return. And it's the same thing with packages. You see people frantically in the post office trying to get their packages in days before Christmas, not caring what is it going to cost. It doesn't matter. Just getting it done, getting it shipped, not dealing with it. Ugh, not having to deal with it. Just get it in there. And it's crazy town. It really is. It's crazy how so many of us wait till that last second. But I totally get it. It goes to the culture, right? I say that America Tonight's about the buzz in the land. We're concerned about these middle class tax cuts that they're talking about. People are concerned about open enrollment and trying to figure out their health care, and is it going to be jacked up sky high, and what kind of health insurance are you going to get, and do you have right now, and having to do the open enrollment thing, all of that, and then going from there after that and talking about what the holidays look like and where you're going and who you're mailing what to. And I'll tell you what's really crazy is when you fly somewhere over the holidays, and really the busiest time is not that Christmas period into the New Year. It's the busiest time is Thanksgiving, and that makes sense because families go to see other families, other parts of their family. But then, of course, when's the time you're going to try to stay home, and that's going to be during the Christmas holidays with your own family if you're going to be plopped down and not, you know, go somewhere. And that's why the number of flights, just insane and how stuffed they are. I mean, really, 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 really stuffed when you get on those planes and people trying to get everything they could possibly get with them, bring with them, and stuff it in the overhead or try to jam it underneath the seats, whatever it is. But it's a crazy town when you get on the planes that are traveling back. I mean, really, really super insane, insane. The president not in Washington any longer, speaking of the insaneness of all of that happens out of Washington, the tsunami. He is, as you know, spending 10 days in Asia. It's a big Asia trip, a five-country, 10-day tour. And part of that is a diplomatic economic partnership deal, trying to contend with North Korea's nuclear threats and whatnot. The First Lady, of course, with him. So while all the indictment stuff is happening, they're off on this trip, and the focus is on the problems abroad with North Korea, certainly at the top of the list. That's on your mind. We're going to the mailbag next here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Email, which means that absolutely we're going to hit the mailbag and we're going to hit it hard now on ATN.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
I got to hear that again.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Let's do that. We're going to dig into the mailbag. All right, quickly, bada bing. This one is from Erica. Kate, love the show. I think you're hilarious. Your sarcastic wit is so quick. You deserve to have a giant show, and shame on any network for burying you late at night. I think you should take over for some of these guys that I hear when I'm driving home. You're so much better. Oh, there's a fan. I got one fan right there. Thank you, Erica, for that. That's really sweet. Okay, so then we move to David, and David also chiming in on a couple of things. David says, love the show, kiddo. Keep it up. Hate it when you're on the road because I always want to hear you, you, you. The Twitter feed of Donald Trump going down is, I have to say, hilarious. I'm sure even the president would find some irony in that. And, of course, you know, it was a smart aleck ex-employee. They don't have to dig too deep to figure that one out. They practically already said that. Anyway, adios. I'll keep listening. Here's another one. This one is from Hannah. And Hannah says, Kate, have you noticed that it's been a very strange fall? It seems like because the summer hung around for most of us, now all of a sudden we're getting these leaves, but they're falling all over the place. And I used to really like all the seasons, but now it's a real pain in the rear end, I must tell you. But nothing worse than hearing the sounds of the blowers up and down the neighborhood. I don't know about anyone else, and I know this is kind of a weird thing to talk about as I send you an email and I'm kind of nervous about it, but leaves and yard waste. What do most people do in the country? You know what? It's not a weird question, actually. I grew up with an aunt who, and this is in New Jersey, who... She was, like, known as the leaf lady. She loved, it was like her exercise. She was retired down the street. She lived a couple streets down from us. And she would rake, and put it all in the cans and took the cans to the curb. And then they took them, you know, they took the leaves away. But a lot of places, they don't do that now. And then so what happens is some people just actually kind of mulch their leaves, that they just do that in the yard. Or somebody comes in, whatever, rakes them up. But what they're saying is, and I just read a story on this, that it's not necessarily great to rake them up. That, you know, it's kind of a cover for critters, for wildlife. And that there are actually benefits to letting leaves decompose naturally. That it becomes this mulch even on its own, right? So it's kind of cool to leave it. Oh, I can't imagine that a lot of neighborhoods would really enjoy people with leaves overflowing. I know in my neighborhood, part of the reasons why I picked where I live is because I wanted it to sort of remind me of home, and I didn't want to be in a place where there was just zero, like no lot line whatsoever and no trees. And I have massive trees all over the neighborhood. So we do get that crazy leaf effect where if it's really raining leaves, there is leaves in the street. There's leaves everywhere. I mean, they're so pretty to watch and pretty when they fall, not so pretty when you have to get them up. I don't have the patience or the time, I guess, like my aunt. Wah, wah, wah. So the leaf thing is interesting, right? I don't know. I'm in a silly mood, I'm just saying. All right, so let's move on to something else. How about this? This one is from David, who says, hey, how about this new iPhone? Do you think the iPhone is going to be super popular or what? I'm talking about the X, baby. The iPhone X, yes, it's going on sale. And, you know, before it was supposed to be flopped up at the Apple Store in Fifth Avenue, people were lining up. It's so, that repeated pattern of the lineups. It's crazy. They say the camera is incredible. And that's, to me, you know what, that's part of the thing. The camera's incredible, and you don't have to, because it's that good, you can use it for businesses, etc. You're taking this is great video, great pictures, etc. I mean, I can tell you, I think I have the, and I'm not advertising for them, trust me, by any means, but I want to say I have the 7 Plus, and the video and the camera is pretty amazing. So nieces, nephews, getting shots of them, doing things, you know, that I want to do where I'm recording video. And that's why you should hit me up on some of my social media, like Twitter, Kate S. Delaney, because I'm going to start to put out more videos. And I actually do some videos. So this X is supposed to be just aces in that department. I mean, just really incredible what it can do, what it's capable of doing with just a flip of a couple of buttons here or there. And I think that's what is so attractive to so many people. All right, we'll move on to yet another one. And this one is from Philip, who says, Kate, I've been listening to you for, gosh, probably 6 years, and I always enjoy your offerings. I'm wondering, because I just got back from a cruise, because I decided I was going to take a diet, meaning a diet from social media and from everything else that was going on, and just actually enjoy my life for 7 days with my family. And I have to tell you, I was not really excited about the whole cruise thing, but it ended up being an amazing, amazing trip where we got to stop in the islands in the Caribbean. We got to experience what it was like to be on like kind of this floating city, and it was much better than I thought in my head. I had painted something different. So I have to say I enjoyed the cruise immensely, and I would recommend cruises to other people. Just be careful what you get on what ship and what you want. Yeah, well, of course, they're all different, and there are so many themes, etc. People talk about the Viking River cruises, but that's way different. That's small, and that's in Europe. But the Disney cruises with young kids, people talk about that. People talk about the Cunard line, the Queen Mary 2, what that was like. People talk about the Seabourn cruise line, the Windstar cruises. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting trips that you can take. I mean, 3 and 4 day trips even to Mexico out of places like Long Beach, California, or you can leave out of Galveston, Texas, or you can leave out of Miami, Florida. It just, it just depends. But some of these shorter cruises, I think, are popular. I don't know. I've never been on a cruise. I know people that have gone on a cruise, and they kind of swear by it, even if they were kind of iffy at first on taking a cruise. But I guess if you're going to relax, as long as you're not stuck on one of those boats where something horrific happens, then maybe that's the place to do it, where you can just kind of, I don't know, kick back and take a breath from everything and disappear. I like the idea of the social media diet, so no social media and just having conversations or relaxing or doing, you know, whatever. And I say bravo to that. Very, very tough to do it, however. Really tough to do it. All right, and one final one. I got this one from Harold, who says, Kate, oh, I was so upset to hear that Deshaun Watson is out. Torn ACL. I feel sorry for the people in Houston, except for the Astros, who just won the World Series by beating the Dodgers. How about that in a Game 7? Yeah, how about that? 4 books at bedtime coming up next.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Message and data rates may apply.
Sick of hair loss, thinning hair, bald spots? Ever thought about hair restoration? It's a life-changing decision. Thankfully, the first step is incredibly easy and absolutely free because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals just how easy and affordable their permanent solution to hair loss really is. Get yours by texting EASY44 to 85850. You'll see for free just how great your hair could look. Plus, we'll also give you a free gift card when you text EASY44 to 85850. Join the men and women all over the country who have come to Bosley, the world's most experienced hair restoration expert, for their permanent solution to hair loss. If you've ever thought about getting your hair back, don't miss this incredible offer. We're giving away an invaluable information kit, absolutely free, plus a gift card for $250 off to everyone who texts EASY44 to 85850. That's EASY44 to 85850.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's WWMDfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Really thrilled about our next guest coming up. Anna Liotta is with us. She's in our virtual green room, as it were, as we like to say here on your nightly fix of Forbes. And what's really cool about Anna is she's one of 19 children, which is crazy insane. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Greg, you're not one of 19 children, right?
No, I'm one of 2 children, and that's twice as many as I would prefer, frankly.
Oh, that's interesting. That's like me, 1 and 2, exactly. And she's an expert on generations and the differences between them and how do we bridge the gap. Think of meetings, think of companies, and she really is the go-to person. There's no question about it. So she's got a busy schedule, and we're really excited that she's able to spend some time with us. Anna, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Kate.
So since I set you up that way, I'm sure people always ask you this, and it's on your website, too. You have a photograph of your family, 19 children. So where are you in the lineup?
You know, I come in at the very end. I'm the youngest girl. I'm the 18th child.
Wow.
And you know what, Greg, if you need a couple extras, I'm happy to bring a couple of siblings because, you know, between my siblings, they also have 56 children. So I'm on times, and their kids already have 48. So my family life really was a petri dish of the generation, kind of an ongoing dissertation my whole life just to survive the generational dynamics.
So I could not be more different in my family background. I have one brother. I hope he's listening because if this is news to him, he hasn't been paying attention, but he's like having 18 siblings. He's a handful. He's a lot of handfuls. And neither of us have kids, so my life experience is exactly the opposite of yours, which is... It's pretty staggering. I love the photo of you on your website in your mom's arms. There's little Anna and all her brothers and sisters. You're all very cute and charming. And look where you are today. You're talking to us.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's such a great example of generational dynamics in action, because in that picture is a GI generation dad, a traditionalist mom, many baby boomer brothers and sisters, and Gen Xer brothers and sisters. And now we add all the millennials in that are nieces and nephews, and then their kids are actually Gen Z, or what I call the global. So right there, you have the six generations colliding.
See, I think Apple created the panorama feature on the iPhone just for your family, because if you didn't have panorama, you couldn't get them all in.
It's so true. I remember one of the weddings we were at, the wedding photographer had scheduled like 45 minutes to take a family picture. And we're so used to getting everyone in and figuring it out, and, you know, without even the panorama, that he turned around after, you know, getting the camera ready, and boom, everybody was there. And he's like, I can get you all in one shot. We're like, yeah, we know how to get close. We get all swoosh.
He was disappointed because that was less shots that he could sell you. If he had to capture you in 10 shots, it was 10 times the revenue. So I'm really interested on it. You do a lot of speaking, obviously, about generations in general, but also about millennials.
Yes.
And everywhere I go, and I go to a lot of conferences for Forbes and for Forbes Books, everywhere I go, I hear people frustrated, upset, angry, clueless about how to work with millennials. I never hear millennials complaining about the older folks they work with. I hear older folks complaining about the millennials. What can we do about that?
Well, I have to say the millennials are complaining about the older folks. We're just not always listening. But let me tell you what we can do about that. Where my work over the last 20 years in generational research has brought me to is to understanding that each generation has a code. I call it their generational code. It's a little bit like an algorithm that's running in the background. And when you understand their generational code or the algorithm and the variables to it, it gives you a new perspective on how to address, to lead, to manage, to sell to work with the different generations. So let me give you a little example of what that code might sound like. What we know from knowledge studies is that about age 8, our brains start to make logic. If this, then that. And between the ages of 8 to 18, we're observing the world around us, the events, the leaders, the icons. And when there's an event and it's paired with an emotion, it creates an imprint. The higher the emotion, the deeper the imprint. Hmm. So when we want to understand, why do the millennials do what they do? Why do they expect what they expect? Or let's be honest, demand what they demand, right? What is shaping that? What's driving that? My perfect example of this. My bonus mom is in her 90s right now, and I call her bonus because my mom passed away when I was very young, and my dad remarried her best friend who brought six children to us, the last six in the 19, and she grew up with some formative events of the Great Depression, World War II, and so a couple Christmases ago, we were making a lasagna for one of our family potlucks, because you can imagine, no one person can make enough food to feed all that, right? Everybody's got to pitch in a little bit, but we're making a lasagna for the potluck. And we cover it in tinfoil. We take it off to the dinner. At the end of the night, I was wiping down the now empty lasagna plate. And I looked over at my sweet bonus mom in her 90s. And what do you think she was doing with the tinfoil?
Cleaning it to reuse it.
She was. She was saving it. She was wiping it down, smoothing out the wrinkles, cleaning it for reuse. Because her formative events that shaped her algorithm or her generational code tell her that you need to conserve and keep everything. Now, today, she doesn't need to do that. She has plenty of resources, but she still has actions and reactions based off those formative experiences. So when it comes to our millennials, we need to understand what are their formative experiences that are shaping their choices. And once we understand that, all of a sudden they become a little less frustrating to us because we realize that they're not attempting to be demanding or what so many people love to say entitled, but they have been raised by baby boomers boomer parents and Gen Xers who said, do what you love and the money will follow. You need to go in there and you need to be strong. You need to ask for what you want, speak up, stand up. And so they do. They arrive in the workplace and they are very excited because they want to make a difference. They want to have an impact. But they also come in with positive self-esteem that their parents worked really hard to make sure they had it. And so when you think about it, our traditionalists came into the workplace and they thought of themselves as laborers. They'd come through the Great Depression, their parents had, they were just grateful to have a job. And so the loyalty of the two-way street in an organization was you work hard for the organization works hard and they take care of you. Then come our baby boomers. And they had 80 million peers. So everything was a competition. So then they got on with the company. Loyalty was still two ways, but it was really about working up the corporate ladder, putting in 20 years so you could get ahead of your peers. So our baby boomers think of themselves as employees. They are moving up the ladder. They're working super hard, but they can't move because moving meant getting behind through their formative years. And so when you ask a baby boomer, what do? They say, I work for. So that employee generational DNA comes forward. Now, our Gen Xers came of age through the Great Recession of the 1980s, and so their baby boomer parents had bled company colors. They'd worked 80-hour work weeks like a badge of honor. They'd totally been dedicated. But in the middle of their formative years, in the recession of the 80s, they came home with a little slip of paper at the dinner table. What color was that pink? Oops, I just told you. Pink. It was a pink slip, right? And so our Gen Xers became free agents in their mentality. They get on with the company, they work super hard, but they know if something cataclysmic happens, they need to be ready with their resume fresh, their bullet points hot, and they need to be ready to scoop up their skill set and move on. Our millennials come along, and loyalty as a two-way street, long gone. They have never seen that as part of their DNA. They don't expect to stay with the company that they're currently at for their whole career trajectory. They're going to be in the workplace till they're 80. So they consider themselves to be talent. You ask them, what do? And they tell you what they're passionate about, what their talents are, what their gifts are. Now, our Gen Xers, you ask them what they do, and they say, I'm in, and they give you the industry. So when we're looking at these different dynamics, we need to understand what shaped those formative years when they were identifying with the world and how the things work. Now, the Gen Zs, what I call the globals, come along, and they will be influencers because they already have followings on Instagram and Pinterest and YouTube. And they know that their real power is the channel that people follow them on. And people pay a lot of money to them as influencers to get to their audience, to get to their network, their hyper network. And so all of these different generational codes make sense to each person in that generation because that was their formative year of imprints.
Boy, that is crazy. What an amazing timeline you gave us of what we're seeing now in companies. We're almost up against it, but from the millennial point of view and from a corporation, if I run a corporation and I'm at the C-level, and we're going to continue this with you in another segment, but how do I initially keep millennials engaged and then the globals?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing is you said the right word. Engaged, because they come into the workplace ready to contribute. And that looks like collaboration from day one, week one. Collaboration not only on what am I going to do right now, but where do I go from here? So they want to say, listen, I can find other job opportunities by jumping online, jumping on LinkedIn, jumping on Career Builder. They can find all of these different job opportunities. Why don't you let me know where I can go from here inside the organization so that I can map out a career path within the organization? Don't just say, well, you've only been here for 6 weeks or 6 months or expect me to stay till 6 years before we have the conversation. Engage me by asking about what are my personal goals and then helping me map out how I can get there from here from the very beginning. Even in the interview, they would like to know, what is your ecosystem within the organization to help me develop my talent? Because I see myself as talent and I want to keep myself fresh, have learning experiences. And they're looking for those learning experiences inside your organization. One of the really great ways from the beginning is to have a mentoring program that's not just one way. It's not just down, but it's mentoring up as well. It's mentoring bring across and having people be able to really be collaboratively engaged in designing their experience.
Love that. Hang on, Anna. We're going to do another segment with you. This is so fascinating, Greg. So thanks so much for being on your nightly fix of Forbes, and we're going to catch up with you again on another night.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Right now, I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to ericpetersautos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we gotta go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy, or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos, because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If they're such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know, that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area, or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food, and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol, biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at, but that could be a disaster too as well for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right, I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid '70s, and they they were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids, and what does that mean, and should I get a hybrid, and how much does it cost to me, and what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of a hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural Southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%. And then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye. And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.